Welcome everyone to episode 6 of Maramello. Thanks so much for joining me again. Super cool to have you here. This episode is going to be split into two parts just because it was quite a long one. Also, I should mention, we recorded this one quite a long time ago when I was still asking for 7 songs instead of 5. That's why it's quite long. So this playlist is a bit longer. So to all the other guests, I'm sorry, you got 2 extra ones. Hey, it was the old show. And the he I am referring to is the ever radiant Lexi. He was a wonderful guest and a future pop star. So be sure to check him out after you finish this episode. Super nice guy. And after you listen to the first part, listen to the second part and his playlist. Cool. I'll stop talking. Enjoy our rambles. Thank you so much. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time it happens to be when you're listening. My name is Kieran, and today we are joined by the pure sunbeam man himself, Mr. Lexi. How are you doing Jeffs. Today, sir?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's been a beautiful day down here. I've got out as much as I can, so I'm feeling pretty fresh today.
Good. Glad to hear it. That was a wonderful introduction. I hope everybody knows me as the beautiful sunbeam man.
They do now. That's your official title from now on.
True. That's true.
Part 1. Linear.
How is lockdown treating you at the moment?
Round three.
Really
deep. This one feels a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The first lockdown was kind of blissful, and it's in a very like warm and happy place in my head because I was making my first song, and I was just making. I had no responsibilities, so I was just making music every day, and I was watching like I wake up and watch an episode of Mad Men, and like that would set the precedent for my day, just chill. But I'm in uni now, so. It's kind of different. It feels like life without the spontaneity or sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, but it is what it is. Make the most of it where I can.
For sure. But I guess interesting point with the kind of freedom aspect you experienced in the first lockdown and how that seemed to kind of produce a bit more, I guess, productivity out of you. Would that be fair to say?
I don't think personally, because I'm always internally, I have internal pressure to be productive. So I don't think it's just a different kind of productivity, because the first lockdown was like my own structure. So I was doing it off my own back. But this time it's like I'm part of a structure that is a university. So productivity is, in a sense, demanded, you know?
Yeah. So it's less kind of... It's less having no inspiration and more having no time.
I guess you could say that. Yeah, I haven't had time for music, but definitely busy days, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Got to keep on your toes. You know what was really weird was the first 2 or 3 weeks, because I wasn't doing uni or college or anything either. I was free. And at that time, I was like, whoa, I can play Minecraft all day and that's all right. I'm allowed to do that.
Yep, definitely.
Me and my friends, we made a server. We would just
sick
go on it every single day.
Amazing.
Call for hours. And then after the first few weeks, the novelty really kind of wore off. And we were all like, damn, I miss just... we missed having shit to do. Like, the extent of our troubles was, oh, we need to put a wash on. Or... Oh, we need to do some chores. Like, that was literally it. And yeah, really, really bizarre kind of... We had almost too much freedom, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. For me, the creativity was that endless, like, paddling pool of fun. Because, I mean, just for me, like, making is... it's like a act that I can never stop loving, because it's, you're sort of discovering when you make, so it's difficult to, you can have creative blocks, but if you're in that place of pure inner child, it's very difficult to not be engaged and be entertained. But obviously that's like the goal, to be in that position. Definitely. But I feel you. I think I'm quite funny, and the way I spend my time is quite particular, and it's very often based in like, is this my true, like, is this what I really want to be doing? I always ask myself that, like, is this really how I want to be spending my time? So I think when it came to lockdown, I think I was just in a blessed place. Like, I was just really good mentally. So I could just make, and I could just be productive, but not in a way of like, oh, you have to be productive, because I don't believe in that. It was just like what I wanted to do.
Absolutely. I think that's a great, that's definitely a great sort of reflection of appreciating your own self-worth, is when you only allow yourself to really spend the time doing what you know you want to do.
Yeah.
I know for me personally, you know, what I'm doing now is completely different to what I was doing a year ago.
Really?
Like, a year ago, around this time, I was convinced I was going to be in sport for my whole life. That's all I was going to be doing. And it felt, I remember that, this kind of just queasy, unnatural feeling. It was like, but it kind of felt just like life had taken me that way, and I just had to go with it. It was like, this is the field I've picked, this is the path I got to go down. And
damn.
Yeah. And it wasn't until kind of a few months ago, when I was at uni doing this thing I'd been waiting to do for ages, and I realized, damn, I really don't want to do this. And that was a really tough kind of revelation moment. It almost felt like everything I've been doing was a lie. It was like,
so what sport were you doing?
So I was doing athletics. I was really into my sprinting. But
that's intense.
Sport coaching was also kind of what, that's what I was there to do at uni, but I was really hoping to go through the athlete program, get a good coach, and just kind of go from there. And I don't know, it's just, I got there and there wasn't a single person there who I really was like, yeah, I like you. It was all just, everyone was so just different to me. And I appreciate, you know, difference, but just being surrounded by it, it was like, it was so overwhelming.
Damn.
And
so what are you doing now?
So I've very recently just got offered a place in Birkbeck to do liberal arts.
Sick.
Which is a big upgrade. I'm really looking forward to it. But it's
whereabouts is that?
It's literally right next to UCL.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But
so convenient.
Yeah. And I think just kind of tying that back into what we were saying about lockdown. If lockdown hadn't happened, I don't really know if I'd have had that eureka moment. Because I'd have been neck deep in tournaments, in training. I'd just be in go mode all the time.
Damn.
But because I had a bit of time to sit with myself and be like, oh, I enjoy making music, and oh, I also like writing still, and all these things I've forgotten about, and I got to do them again, and I was like, oh no, this is what I want to do actually.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
So, you know, little silver linings coming from
lockdown. That's like a fucking golden nugget. That's incredible.
Hallelujah.
That's a diamond. That's like a diamond block.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Segue. Minecraft.
Damn, we tying it all together. What?
Yeah, of course. That's something I've had to learn recently. You know, it's just, I feel like I've been on some crazy high for a couple years, and now it's like slowly coming down, but in just like a way life does, and it's like coming to terms with that and just accepting it for what it is.
Definitely. I think a really good place to be in regard to that is one where you can recognize that those peaks will come again, and you haven't you haven't gone out of your prime or anything. It's you know, you're not yearning for the golden days anymore, because they'll come back again. It's
true.
It's just it's a crazy time to be a young adult.
Yeah, you know? I mean, this conversation ties quite nicely into my first song.
Oh really? Well, I mean,
uh-huh.
we better use that segue then.
Yeah. So the first song on my list is a song called Dream by Lancey Foe.
Okay.
It's just about him like living his dream, but it's such a playful and joyous song that damn melody lives in my head rent free.
Mm-hmm.
You best believe that. It's just the most catchy song.
I love that. I think artists sometimes get an unnecessary amount of backlash from maybe they're more purist fans for when they go for a radio-friendly approach.
Mm.
Like when they make something that's intentionally made to get stuck in your head. Because,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe they see it as cheap or selling out. But to me, it's just like, that's genius. If you can make something that is catchy, then you found the magic formula. Like, good job.
Yeah, literally.
So...
yeah, I mean, selling out is such a dated analogy. Like, sure. I don't think our generation understands the idea of selling out when everybody's their own brand. Like, definitely. I don't think that rhetoric exists anymore. I think the goal or the aim is to sell out, is to be sponsored.
Absolutely. That's
probably, it's like YouTuber is one of the largest goals for kids in terms of jobs, is they want to be an influencer or a YouTuber. They want to have an audience and be in front of the camera. It's kind of a crazy world.
Yeah, it's a big shift. It's going from, like, I suppose 50 years ago it was more just make some money, go into this business. If your family's in that business, then you're probably going to do well in it. But now... mm. Now, you know, my younger sister, she's only 11 and she's already got a phone. She's got social media and stuff. Mm. And
she's already sponsored by Evian.
Exactly. She's got them big brand deals coming in. But like, it's crazy because you can see so easily just find anything now.
Like, yeah.
Any niche little thing, and that can trigger so much.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're spoiled for choice now in terms of what's available to us.
Yeah, I think we've become rotten. Honestly, I mean, amount of anxiety that's present in our generation is just a huge product of the hyper stimulation that we're constantly subjected to. It's very, I don't see it getting any better as well, so.
Part two, critic.
I'm going to continue this theme of upbeat trap music.
Mm-hmm.
My second song is Surf by Young Thug and Gunna.
Okay.
That album, So Much Fun, is masterpiece.
It's a good album. Very good album.
I just think, obviously, Young Thug's a hugely influential rapper, but he just came to a sharp point on this album and knew exactly what he was doing. He was trying to make an album that was so much fun to listen to, probably make as well. And it's just an incredible, it's just an enjoyable experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I find his kind of cadence and charisma undeniable. And it's just such an infectious tune.
Uh-huh. And I'm interested to know actually, ever since kind of stepping into the realm of making your own music and promoting your own material, do you find yourself now being so much more aware of why you enjoy certain songs? Like, is there moments where you're like, oh, it's because of is because of this progression or because of how this song is structured. I don't know, just anything like that.
I think it's an interesting question. I don't think I'm analyzing why I enjoy a song because I feel like a lot of the time when it's an emotional response, like you get happy from a song, it feels like Pharrell Williams talks about it as coordinates. So when he hears a song of a certain vibe, a certain mood, he hears the coordinates of the song and he tries to reverse engineer something that hits in that same area but isn't the same song. So I obviously think about structure, mixing, a lot of details that I've having looked under the rug of music. I'm thinking when I listen to a song how it's made and maybe why certain decisions are made to make. I'm noticing all the complexities inside the song, but it doesn't necessarily translate into why I enjoy it because I hold that in a sort of, I guess, spiritual or otherly realm that is away from rationale and logical thought, I guess.
I think that's the best way to do it, honestly. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Yeah.
I think there's been, just linking it back to social media, actually, I follow kind of a lot of music discussion pages, like kind of rap analysis kind of stuff. And so much of it is based upon like everyone is so desperate to know objectively who is the best rapper of all time, who is the best producer of all time, who is the best this, best that. Like everyone wants to know an answer. And it's such a like objective robot type way of thinking about it. Like
this takes the fun out of it.
Exactly. Like music's been made ever since, you know, we were coming out
banging rocks together.
Exactly. No one was thinking about like, oh, that's a great, who's your great
top,
bit of
who's your top 10 rock bangers.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think for that reason alone, we need to take the numbers.
We need to shut down Reddit.
Absolutely. just burn it all. Get rid of it. We don't need it.
Just keep Wall Street Bets. That's all we need. Yeah, I think maybe not maturity, but just for me, I guess, I don't know. Maybe it is maturity, but for a while I would go on Hip Hop Heads a lot or listen to Anthony Fantano reviews and maybe not align my preferences with that, but definitely it would define areas of music that I would listen to and then I'd find myself in these pits of preference that didn't necessarily fit mine, because it's very difficult for one person or a group of people's opinions to perfectly fit your own. And I think once I stopped consuming that sort of media, it helped me come to my own opinions and embrace pop music more. Because I think pop music is incredible and is incredibly valuable and shouldn't be, I mean, people can have preferences, but I think the talent and the skill, as you were saying before, to make something catchy and to stick in your head shouldn't be brushed off as selling out or playing the easy card, because it's not necessarily easy to make something that's simple but works.
Absolutely.
And that's always something I hold in definitely my music making process. I'll be channeling I'll be thinking about how Drake makes a melody or JPEG Mafia writes, or how these artists that I look up to hold a sense of, it's like sharpness. It's like a well curated exhibition. There's no room for guff and shit. It's just clean, sharp hits, whether it's production or it's lyrics. It's intentional, you know, straight down the middle. I think well-versed opinions can help us gauge certain, it's like having infrastructure in something that's quite ambiguous. Like, if you're getting into a new film director, like, I love Martin Scorsese, mm-hmm. and I've recently, like, I'm watching more DVDs right now. So I'm trying to watch, like, as many Scorsese films as I can, like, more so than the ones I already know I love.
Uh-huh.
So I would go about my research and find, like, a list of the top-ranked Scorsese films. And maybe, I don't know who the hell is ranking this list, but it's giving me some kind of broad context that maybe I should avoid, like, the last 25. I mean, the last, like, five in the 25 list, you know, mm-hmm. like, maybe those are misses, but... It shouldn't be your objective truth. Like, it's not like it's Matrix and you're downloading the thought and then that's it. You just have that list and
that's
life. But I think it can be helpful. Like, and especially hearing, I've been listening to like a couple Mark Kermode like scathing reviews. He'll just like rip apart like Sex and the City 2, and then it's just like this hilariously. Like brutal but honest breakdown of a film. That doesn't mean you can't love that film. It's just his opinion, and it's interesting when someone's articulate. It makes you question your own opinion. So I think critics can be useful, but yeah, I think they are too often thought of as the truth.
Interesting though. Pros and cons. We love it.
Yeah, I mean that's life.
Part three. Branches.
Song three.
To the third song, maybe.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with one that I'm loving right now. By JPEG Mafia, who I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. It's called "Fix Yourself."
Good choice.
Something he just put out. This one, like, Peggy has a very. He has that clean, dirty. Like, all his loose songs recently have been, like, I've loved, but this one in particular feels incredibly anthemic, you know? I think it's the horns in it, but it feels like you're in a room full of space, and it feels powerful. Yeah.
Peggy manages to walk the line of, like, this instrumental is insane, but also I think of Death Grip sometimes, and I can appreciate a lot of what they make, but sometimes I'm like, this is just a lot of noise to me. This is crazy. I'm trying to consume too much right now. But Peggy to me has always been one of those rappers, similar to Danny Brown actually, where he can take something that is mind-bending, but he can put it into this formula that we already know and love, and he can just mesh these two worlds together and make it work.
Yeah,
and that's super admirable. I really respect him for that.
Yeah, that's the beauty of pop. It's like that tried and tested foundation that you can then, it's like a solid concrete base that then you can like scatter crushed rose petals on, or like throw up on.
Yeah,
it's like you'll have that surface texture, but you're always gonna have solid concrete underneath. He always has those lines, you know. I think he's a rapper that speaks a lot in his lyrics and doesn't just say things. He's really speaking. He's really talking.
I'm interested by that. And are you someone who appreciates lyrics that you have to further research on your own? Or do you kind of like when you can kind of not immediately understand, but you can very much kind of get the gist of what someone's trying to say on a first listen.
Ideally, I like both to be present.
Okay, nice little mixture. a bit of sweet and salty.
Yeah, because I think, you could take JPEG Mafia, for example. He'll have lines that, it's like, something like Young Dari, I'm tagging in. And I can understand what he's saying in that line. He's like tagging in something of action is going on, but he's referencing like a WrestleMania actor slash fighter. So there's, I mean, that's a poor example, but
no, but I get what you mean. It's,
I think lyrics to be well written have to be immediately evocative, but also ideally will have substance behind them that you can contemplate and sit with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's always something I'm trying to do when I'm writing anything. It's like have a clear message and hit on themes that the song is about to keep it concise. I mean, that's something I've learned from working with Lucas. He's very often maybe thinking more about certain things that I'm not thinking about. He's thinking about themes in a song. It's like, what are we actually saying here? What's the overarching theme, and how should we then dictate our writing through that theme? But then being able to have full dissect episodes on like a Frank Ocean song is also amazing. Yeah,
I love that. I love when you can really just just like a study where you can really be like, okay, you know what, I love this song, let me understand every little detail, every little morsel.
Yes,
I do that a lot with with MF Doom songs.
Yes,
because I can listen to an MF Doom song 100 times and there are still going to be things that I miss. So I really appreciate, you know, I've got a few friends who listen to him as well, and we can just sit down and be like, so what did he mean by this? And what does he mean by that?
It's funny, as much as we're denouncing Anthony Fantano, we're definitely doing the white hip hop enthusiast bingo. We've had Death Grips, JPEG Mafia, MF Doom, Danny Brown.
Quick, talk about okay. Someone cool.
I mean, maybe my fourth song can
maybe mix that'll things save up. Us.
This is a song by the White Stripes.
Ooh.
It's called "I Just Don't Know What to Do with Myself."
Okay.
Something that came into my head this morning, just the melody. I think again, the White Stripes, Jack White, it's that immediacy of telling the audience he doesn't know what to do with himself, but there's a depth of emotion behind that, to where the way he's saying it is convincing you. He could be saying something else that isn't directly representative of how he feels, but the emotion is in his delivery and in his guitar. So yeah, I like this song a lot.
So big change of genre there.
Yep. I think I mean, I love hip hop, but I love music. So yeah. If you're making me feel something, I love you and I want to hear it.
That's so great.
I'm by no means loyal to one genre.
Yeah, I love as well looking at like interviews with certain artists that I love and understanding their inspiration, because rap, a lot of the top rappers, or certainly rappers I'm interested in, will always kind of talk about sources of inspiration outside of rap. So for me, Tyler the Creator is one of my all-time faves. And he's always talking about like Sade, Erykah Badu, Khalees, Pharrell. I know he's a lot in rap, but you know, it really that's a great way for me to discover new artists that I love. And I don't know, it's really cool when you can kind of see the strings attaching everyone together, and it's a very kind of fulfilling moment.
Totally. It's those like those links that happen. So life affirming when you randomly hear a song that you heard in another song that you loved,
Yeah.
Like, feels like it's all linking up. I mean, my what is it, fifth song now, is along those lines. It's Bound by the Ponderosa Twins Plus One. Obviously famously sampled in Kanye West's Bound 2, one of my all-time favorite songs.
And but yeah, this, also by Tyler in A Boy Is a Gun.
Yes. Interesting. I always found it interesting that he chose that sample, because it's like, it's so like evocative. It's so like, it already has such a connotation.
Mm-hmm.
He still did something with it, but it's always like going to be in the shadow of Bound 2.
Mm. That is it for part one. When it goes up, roll on over to part two, or have a little break. Maybe you're all musicked out for a bit. That's fine. Come in with a fresh brain.